Welcome to The Plants We Eat, investigation of the history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. I'm Jeff Gilman, director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and plant history buff.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, instructor at Central Piedmont Community College, Charlotte, North Carolina, and a garden coach for landscape folks.
And today we're going to be talking about lettuce. And don't turn us off yet. Y'all are probably thinking pretty much exactly what I thought, which is that lettuce is the most boring crop on Earth.
I'm there.
You're there.
I was
but,
there.
But let me tell you, it's when I started really looking into it, lettuce is fascinating. It's really the story of sex, drugs, and diarrhea. that's what lettuce is about. Lettuce was actually first cultivated by Egyptians around 5,000 years ago. And at first, it was actually used for seed, for the oil in the seed. But then it developed into a food plant because of its succulent leaves that you could eat, which were healthy, and obviously they offer a lot of roughage. Now, this next part of the podcast, I'm trying to find a delicate way to put this. The next 30 seconds or so, lettuce actually has been analogized with sex quite a bit. So if you're not interested in hearing lettuce and sex compared, then you may just want to click off for the next 30 seconds to a minute or
Can
so.
Can I do that?
Yeah. Cindy, why don't you click off? Around 2000 BC, lettuce was considered an aphrodisiac, which represented the Egyptian god of fertility named Min. Now, you may say to yourself, why was lettuce thought of as a in any way sexual? I mean, what's sexual about lettuce?
That's what I know. When we were talking about this, I had a hard time getting there.
But the thing is, we think of lettuce as this round vegetable. Mm-hmm. The thing is, when lettuce develops flowers, which our lettuce today was bred not to develop flowers till later. It was bred to be round. But when it starts to develop flowers, it does something called bolting. Mm-hmm. And when it bolts, it looks very phallic. And because of this, it was compared to, well, I think that you can figure that out. Anyway, it was thought that this lettuce, this Greek god named Min would eat lettuce, and that it would help him perform the sexual act untiringly. It was mostly thought of that it was as sexual because of the phallic shape, but it also had a milky sap, and I'm going to leave that alone. You can guess what that was compared to. Interestingly enough, it maintained this supposedly aphrodisiac quantity, or people felt that it had something to do as an aphrodisiac. So lettuce was basically bred over the years in order to reduce its height, to slow down its time to maturity. By 50 AD, there were actually many different types of lettuce that were used, and it had really developed, or I should say been bred into the round form that we see today. Really, you could say that breeding over the years has actually sought to reduce lettuce's analogy with sex. The other thing that was done is latex has been bred out, and the latex was bred out because it actually has kind of a bitter flavor, which isn't a pleasant flavor for lettuce to have. When a plant starts to bolt, that is to say, when it starts to grow upright, when it's getting ready to reproduce, lettuce is actually a single species, but there are three species of wild lettuce that our eating lettuce can be crossed with, and one of these is actually known to produce a latex, which is a known drug. So believe it or not, lettuce is actually associated with drugs, with a narcotic. The drug that's actually produced is lacticoprisin and lactucin. They're present in lettuce. They can serve as a painkiller, and actually in tests, they've actually had an effect roughly similar to ibuprofen. And they're actually called lettuce opium. In 1820, a doctor named Dr. Duncan actually recommended the use of lettuce opium. What he did was, in his writings, he was actually writing about it from a situation where he actually used this to cure a cough that one of his nephews had. And by using this lettuce opium, he actually reduced the cough in his nephew, and it was, you know, a really significant thing. Unfortunately, using it to help his nephew made him remember how badly his father's death was. His father actually died of cancer, and his father could not tolerate opium. So he really wished that he could get the lettuce opium for his father to help diminish the pain. So basically, this article that he wrote, while it was ostensibly about his nephew, he really was writing about his dad and how he would have liked to have saved his dad from the torture of the cancer in some way. So that's the sex and the drugs. Now, what about the diarrhea? Well, you probably all know where the diarrhea comes from. Lettuce is known for some not necessarily wonderful reasons. It is known as a primary transporter of E. coli. Now, before we start talking about E. coli, you need to understand that there are actually many types of E. coli. You undoubtedly have E. coli growing in your intestines right now that is not affecting you at all. There's a certain type of E. coli that causes this diarrhea. It's called serotype O157H7. So that's the stuff that hurts you. So all plants can get E. coli on them. This we know. So why is E. coli such a problem in lettuce? Well, back in 1999, some research was done showing that surface sterilization of lettuce doesn't necessarily kill E. coli that has gotten into leaves because it can hide in the pores of the plant. So E. coli can literally hide in the pores of lettuce leaves. This research didn't reveal whether E. coli actually needed to contact the leaves of the plant in order to be taken up, though. Later research in 2002 by a team at Rutgers actually showed that E. coli can be transported from the roots of the plant to the leafy part that we eat. That's really important because basically it's indicating that if cow manure, which contains E. coli, is applied to the ground, then potentially the E. coli could be transported up into the leaves of the plant even without a whole lot of splash going on and could be transported to your plate. So these are some of the reasons that E. coli has this association with lettuce. It's tough if it is present, and that's a big if. Mm-hmm. If it is present in the fertilizer that's going into the field, that fertilizer being manure, it is actually difficult to control it from getting into the leaves of the plant, which somebody may then eat. So that is obviously a really big deal. That is a big deal, obviously, in both organic or conventionally grown plants. It's a situation where if you're growing plants using manure, you really need to be careful about properly composting your manure before it goes into the garden, because otherwise, hey, you could be getting E. coli into your plants. So that's lettuce, sex, drugs, and diarrhea. And, you know, that was difficult to get through.
You did great, though.
Oh, it hurt. That was painful.
I have to say, I enjoyed it a little bit.
I think you enjoyed it a little too much.
It was good. But, you know, back to the manure part with your diarrhea portion of lettuce.
Right.
You know, in urban situations, hopefully you're buying bagged manure, so we don't have an issue. It's pasteurized.
Which you would hope had been properly sterilized.
Which I always recommend incorporating into, you know, the soil. But, you know, I for sure knew that E. coli was being trapped on the surface portion of the lettuce because there's so many crevices and all of that. I had no idea it was drawn up through the soil. That's telling.
Well,
thank goodness they did that study.
Right. Well, it doesn't look like it. So in this study, it wasn't shown exactly how much would go up and whether it would reach a terminal level, but certainly that it could go up there at all is interesting and has some ramifications. So yeah, it was a little bit worrying. I always worry about lettuce just a little bit.
Yes, even the pre-washed kind.
Even the pre-washed kinds. Well, more so now after I read this,
right,
realizing that it can...
You can't hurt to wash it.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, growing lettuce at home is one of the easiest foods that we've talked about to do. It's short-lived, though. They don't like temperatures above 70 degrees.
And you have to harvest at the right time. You have to harvest before it bolts and,
that's right,
you know, starts to look like...
Well, part of its bolting can occur when it's stressed. So there is a day, a number of days that that occurs. But if it gets too hot, or if something this, or if it gets too cold, if you've planted it too early, it will really bolt.
Right.
And then it's really not edible anymore because it's bitter tasting. Most people aren't going to grow your iceberg lettuce.
Right.
They're growing your leafy lettuces, which, they're all over the place. In fact, you have a favorite one you introduced me to. Wasabi.
That's right. I love my wasabi. What type of lettuce is that?
It's an arugula? An arugula, yeah.
Yeah, it's an arugula.
And so there's really three main kinds of lettuce. It's the iceberg lettuce, we all know.
Right.
And that we were all told didn't have any nutritional value. It was just fiber.
Which isn't really true.
It's not, because, and then there's romaine, and then there's the leaf lettuces that are so many of those cultivars available. And then there's butterhead, which is really, I love the taste of that. Mm. But all of them are really rich in vitamin K and A and have folic acid, iron even.
Right.
So it would be fun. The leaf lettuces are the easiest by far to grow at home. In containers, in the ground, I always promote containers so you can avoid the rabbits and, you know, all the other critters that can come and help themselves. And then you harvest from the outside in, and you should have, as long as it stays below 70, a good harvest for a good number of salads, I would say, or sandwiches or whatever you're using it for.
I shouldn't say as long as you keep the lettuce from stress, because eventually it will bolt.
Yes, it will. You have about 130 days if.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge if. It stays below 70. But where does it stay below 70?
Not even Minnesota does it do that.
No, I mean, you'd have a greenhouse situation. It would be difficult. There's a lot of selective breeding going on to delay the bolting. Mm-hmm. You know, which that happens more in production, of course, and the different shapes and colors, and especially the one that you like so much. But you need nitrogen-rich soils.
Yes, lettuce is a nitrogen robber.
It is.
If you're not willing to fertilize, then lettuce probably isn't for you.
No, and it's considered a hardy annual. You know, so you can grow it in the fall when it cools down. When you store it, don't store it with your fruit. The ethylene will reduce its shelf life.
Oh, okay. All right. So, that makes sense.
But
the fruit gives off ethylene, which is a gas, which is also a hormone, and it causes the lettuce to just turn brown or... Mm-hmm. All right. That's very interesting.
So lettuce, there's more behind lettuce than we ever thought. It's just not for your sandwiches.
Fascinating plant. Less boring than I hoped.
Yeah, same here.
All right. This has been The Plants We Eat, produced by the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens with the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Thank you to Alex Frizzell with the UNC Charlotte Isle Group and Alex Chapin, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences.